Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by, it's an all-guys podcast today. Tracy had an appointment, so we've got Bo and Cody. First, Bo, how you doing?
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
I separate you because we got to hear your voices. People want to hear the voice and know the name. Cody, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Cody, I just have to tell the world that Cody is never got casted for his broken leg, and 7 weeks after he went on a business trip and was walking. It is crazy. Hats off to his doctor.
It was only 5 weeks. It was five weeks.
Yeah. 5 weeks. Are we 7 weeks out right now?
Almost. Yep.
Gosh. Crazy. Crazy. All righty. Hey, Cody, tell us, and I've got Karen and Matt in studio with me. Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
I've got rhythm, which I don't actually have.
Right. That title comes from a movie, one of my favorite movies, and stars Steve Martin in The Jerk. And that's what we were thinking about today. We're going to talk about the rhythm of the day and even the rhythm of the week, just like how we all know we have different times of the day and the week that we feel up or down. And there's science behind this. We talk about it at work. All of our lives, we've been talking about it. Like, oh, it's afternoon. I feel like this. I'm going to start eating, or I'm tired. I want to take a nap. But we want to talk about it in terms of how intentional should we be about tapping into those times in the kind of work we're doing and how we schedule our time, because most of us aren't, and yet we know that there's a real impact of that.
As some of our audience know, Cody and I office in Utah, and the rest of the gang is in California. And so sometimes topics like these, Cody and I find out that you all have been having this conversation at the lunch table, or there was something that sparked this topic. And I'm curious if that's true today. Was there some conversation or something that happened that made you think about this topic?
You know, I don't know. I know that we do talk about it a lot. And I think it's just one of those things that one day I said, why don't we ever address this kind of from a almost strategic standpoint? Like, are we using our best hours for the most important things? And so I think we just came up with it that way. But we talk about this almost every day. Somebody will say, oh no, it's 4 o'clock and I'm going into the kitchen. I think I'm going to start eating just because I'm losing some steam.
I've talked about this as it relates to working out, like being athletic. Like I used to, for the longest time, the only window I had for going to the gym was early in the morning before my kids woke up. And I used to think, oh boy, this is just not my peak level of athleticism is here at 6:30 in the morning. And as it turned out, then I tried it at 11:30. I was no more athletic. But sometime around 3 o'clock, actually, if I can get a workout around 3 o'clock, I actually feel like, boy, okay, I've had a portion of my day. I'm a little removed from a mealtime. And so I do think that this principle is really interesting, Pat, because it does apply in many areas of our lives. But we tend to even think about that as it relates to our workout, but we don't organize our work life this way.
Right. Karen just reminded me that I did read an article about this a few weeks ago. And that's what made me start thinking about doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. But we do talk about this all the time. And she gave the thumbs up on the 3 o'clock workout. Yesterday, I got back from a trip, and Karen and I got back, and Bo did too, and we all went for to exercise, and somehow in the afternoon. And then yet, when we come home from work at night, at 6:30 or something, we're like, oh, I don't want to get off the couch.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are definitely rhythms when we feel like exercising, when we feel like creating, when we feel like doing busy work. So that's what we were going to talk about today.
Yeah, and I feel like this is what I was sort of fishing for and didn't know the answer is, I know that I'm reminded of this when I do it really poorly. For example, there have been multiple times where our colleague Julie Dobbins and I have said, oh, there's time on Friday afternoon. Let's do some invention discernment work, which is the sort of work where we're coming up with ideas and trying to refine them. And inevitably, at those meetings at 3 o'clock on a Friday, we get on Zoom and we're like, what were we thinking? This is the worst time in the week to try to do something creative. If we can get things across the finish line Friday afternoon, but at least for me, even though I love inventing and love whiteboarding, that time of the week always kind of drags. It's like I'm reminded not all hours in the week are created equal.
And even podcasting, like for the longest time, we'd push it off and we'd be podcasting at 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're going to talk about why that's not the best time to do it. And we'd be like, why don't we do this during the hours when we're most alert and excited? And right now it's 11:30 and we, not at night, of course, although I'd be pretty cool with that. But at 11:30 in the afternoon, this is an actually really good time to do that. And I'm going to talk about that article I read in just a second.
And Bo, I like what you said around like, I'm reminded of this more when I do it poorly. And I think that for me at least, and we'll dive into this together, is I think that the average posture of anyone in the beginning of their workday is to sit down behind their computer and open up their email. And what I realize is this is sort of similar in terms of like, you know, hey, if I start my day that way, it's a pretty good guarantee that I'm being reactive with my time and I'm just going to go ahead and do whatever's next on my calendar or answer whatever email comes in next. Whereas the days where I stand at the whiteboard and start my day thinking about this very concept of like, hey, I have five big things I need to accomplish. Let me organize my day in a way where I'm giving my best effort, my best time to the most important things. It is a dramatic difference in what I get accomplished that day and how I feel at the end of that day.
So, you know, it's so interesting because everybody talks about what's your favorite time of day? What's your least favorite time of day? And while we all have different rhythms, if you will, there's a generally universal, and I've read articles about this that said, here's kind of how it goes. And I believe this because I lived in Spain when I was in college for 5 months, and they had a rhythm from years past that I think corresponds to a basic biological rhythm. And it goes like this. Okay, you come into the work in the morning and you're fairly alert in the morning and you get more and more alert and it peaks out about noon of all times. And from noon to one, you're pretty good. And then at about 1 o'clock, 1:30, it's decreasing and it just drives to a pit at 3 o'clock or so, you know, in the afternoon, and you're just worthless. Mm-hmm. And then you're in a lull from like 3 o'clock to about 4:35, and then you get a second wind, a much shorter one than you had in the morning, early afternoon, at around 5, and that lasts maybe for an hour, hour and a half, maybe a couple hours, and then it drops off really hard. Now, what we realized in the Western world as Americans, what we do is during our peak hours, we eat. We eat during the times when we are most productive. And when I lived in Spain, what we would do is we would work until like 1:30 or 2. And then you go home and you eat your biggest meal of the day and you sleep. And I don't know what the biology of that is, but then you wake up and you go back and you open up your little business for another couple hours in the evening. And then you close it down and you go out and you have a light meal and have some fun. And you hit the hay a little later than we do here. And I realized there was something very natural about that. And I think that the rigidness of our days are that hustle, run home for your peak hours so you can have dinner. And I know it doesn't work for me either. And so let's talk about that.
I really resonate with it. And there's kind of two things happening at the same time in this conversation. One is the, boy, it's too bad that we all have access to each other's Outlook calendars and can just fill the day with whatever meeting, whenever somebody's available, instead of thinking about what's the sort of conversation we're having and when does that make the most sense to, what zone of the day almost does it make the most sense to put that?
Yeah, it's like we're putting a puzzle together with our schedule, but we're not actually thinking about which piece should fit where. We're just making them fit together. Like, hey, that piece fits there. It's all a bunch of squares. We'll do that meeting here, that meeting there, without really asking ourselves, is this really the appropriate time? You know, I was a distance runner, and like as a miler, I would never sprint on the second lap of a race, right? Because then you're going to die. So you think like, well, when should I do this? What strategy fits what time, and what's my body going to be feeling like right then? But at work, it does feel like we're very reactive. We just kind of slide things in. Oh, you have an open spot there. Yeah. It's like a game of Tetris. You know, we're just like sliding things in there. That was Karen who said that. She's so smart.
I ran the 400, Pat, and I remember our coach saying, okay, here's how you run a 400. First, run as fast as you can. Then run as fast as you can. And then run as fast as you can. And to finish, run as fast as you can. Like, and that's kind of how we default to treating our day. It's like get in, block, 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 go home, crash.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that or sort of interesting that you talked about a cultural element of this, Pat, because like I do think there is an element where we, at least in the Western world, have prioritized busyness over productivity. So the idea that my day is fully packed, I have a busy day, rather than saying, is my day productive? And what's so interesting is when we have the opportunity to prioritize really productive parts of our day, we choose busyness or activity instead of productivity. And I have an example of this. Like, it's funny you mentioned the Spain example. I remember Lindsay and I were traveling in Europe and we had just landed in a particular town. I won't even name which geography this is in, but I was walking up to where we had a scheduled car to rent into this rental car facility. And it was right during this closed business portion of the afternoon. And I watched the guy close the door in my face and lock it. And I thought, well, I have a car rental. And he said, you can come back in an hour or in 90 minutes. And I was like,
what town in Italy were you in?
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually was in Italy. And I was baffled by the fact that I was like, well, no, you're right here. Can I just please get my car right now? And at the time I was irritated by that. Obviously he said, no, I'll be back in 90 minutes. So we had to find 90 minutes to kill. But in a Western world or in our own day to day, how often do you protect like your lunch period or you're trying to protect an hour? And then somebody says, hey, actually, can we meet? And if it's not full, we just fill it. You know, we don't have the discipline to say, no, I'm not going to do that. We have this ability, we have this like proclivity to busyness.
Yeah. And even though that is annoying because it's a customer service organization, it's like, hey, customer here. But when it comes to us planning our day, we need to have some of that discipline. And here's the interesting thing. So what should we save for our peak hours? Yeah, and I think what we should do is coordinate with one another to save white space or conversations that require a little bit of, and it, you know, in the working genius, probably a little higher up the chain, like in terms of that require us to think on the fly and evaluate things rather than just cranking out and getting things done. In other words, we have an interactive meeting where we're trying to solve problems or trying to create things or brainstorm. Or even if we just say, hey, let's all not schedule anything during those peak hours. So every day, whatever is most important, we can get together then to talk about it. That would be a way to get this done. It has to be coordinated though, because if other people you work with don't do this, it's never going to work.
Pat, do you think that this varies by personality type or varies by genius in terms of what people want to be able to be working on during those peak hours? And I thought about going around and even asking, what do each of us like to do in those peak hours? But first, I'm curious if you think it differs all that much.
Okay, I think that it does differ some. I mean, one thing it differs is what time you wake up. You know, like some people get up at 5 a.m. So that's probably their peak hours might come a little earlier. Other people sleep till 8 and that might change. But what I do think is particularly important is the kind of work you might prefer to do during those hours, you know, because that probably depends on your working genius to a large extent. So if you're a W, it might be like peak hours might be the time where you want to sit and ponder things and look around you and say, what's going on here? And there might be, if you're a T, if you're a tenacious person, love to get stuff done, you might want to save that time for cranking. Now, for me, when I have busy work to do, which is not my strength, doing it during my peak hours is probably a really bad use of time. So you added a level of complexity there, Bo, which I think is really important. And that is that we also have to be aware of what our jobs are, what our geniuses are. What we should do, though, we know is be more intentional.
I was having a conversation with a leader who listens to the podcast, so they'll know I'm talking about them, a couple weeks ago, and they were very frustrated at their calendar.
Are they Italian, Bo? They're Italian, no, aren't they? Sorry, I thought I guessed the second Italian time.
They were very frustrated because their calendar kept getting filled up 2 weeks in advance. And we were talking about what's most important for their company and also what's most important for that leader. And they just kept expressing, oh, it's just frustrating. This keeps happening. And I said, you might be frustrated. You're not nearly frustrated enough because what you're doing is letting your calendar just happen to you. And what we need to do on a micro level is know what's our own time, but also on a macro level, know what are the meetings that are most important for our company to have. Let's put those at our peak time. And that might feel a little offensive, because the people like me who are Myers-Briggs J's, who are organized and plan in advance, we can get our calendar set out for the next 6 weeks and I can have my meeting set. And then it can be a little disruptive to be like, oh, that meeting you had scheduled might not be the most important conversation, but we need to put the most important conversations for our organization at our peak times. And what this leader needed to do is have somebody who's pretty organized say, we're going to block time at the most important parts of the week to make sure we're having the most important conversations.
Yeah. I love analogies. I think maybe being an ID in Working Genius is an analogy thing, but that would be like being the football coach of an NFL team and somebody else determining when your plays are going to get called. And yeah. You're like, okay, it's the third quarter. Well, you know, 2 weeks ago we decided you're going to throw the ball right here. It's like, it's fourth and one and not, we're on the 1 yard line. Yeah, but you know, that you scheduled this and we need to build in a sense of in the moment. That's why we can't schedule things out. And that's why white space on our calendar is so important. And we need that to correspond to the rhythm that we experience.
Yeah, what it takes for somebody like me, and I'm prone to, when I'm on vacation, be planning my next vacation, right? I'm prone to want to know my calendar and have it be organized, is to be able to reevaluate and rediscern the week as it's coming and the week before to say, are we putting the most important conversations at the most? Are we, first of all, are we having them? Are we scheduling them? And are we just trying to fit them in at the end of the day? Or are they actually at the most? This is convicting to me, even as we're saying this, to say,
yeah. Yeah, this is not just an interesting topic to band around. It's like, think about the fact that we're not using the best hours on the most important things. You're right. And before we started it, I didn't realize I should be more frustrated about this. I really should be like, I want to do this better.
Cody loves the idea of other people being frustrated. He's like, I've been doing this by myself for years, guys.
If you could share in the frustration, that'd be great. And I do think there is a certain level, I think this goes back to sort of the discipline around it, is we don't get frustrated enough when people interrupt that time or when we're not disciplined enough to protect that time. Because I think a lot of this, at least for me, and I bet it resonates with a few of the listeners, is, hey, there are times where I do block off important pieces of the day. But then as disruptions come, I allow them into that space where I should be more disciplined of saying like, no. And I think there's a very, you know, we use this sort of, when we talk about transition management, like in big things that are happening in people's lives, we talk about like an ending ceremony being really important for them to move from one thing, one part of that transition to the next. And in some ways, I think we need ending ceremonies for the parts of our day. Like, hey, we at the beginning, I need to, and we do this sort of facetiously sometimes, Bo, when we're on a call, I'll say, when we're about to have a different meeting or go to a different elevation of a meeting, I'll literally have people stand up and walk out of the room and walk back into the same room or turn around in their chair. But there's something about signifying and memorializing like, hey, this part of my day, I'm going to shut my laptop and go to the whiteboard or go into a meeting with no electronics. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some mechanism that helps you be disciplined about it.
And you know, Cody, that's not silly when you make people do that. And I know people can go, are you really going to make us walk out of the room and walk back in? It's like, yeah. And then they go, yep, it's different now. You know, so doing those kind of things. You know, there's a few things that come to mind. Because if I'm listening to this, if I'm out there in the audience listening, I'm thinking, okay, what practically am I supposed to do? Mm. Well, first of all, don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. We can't do this perfectly. So if we're like, oh, I need a perfect system to evaluate every meeting and when I do it, no. Just try to get better and move in that direction. And here's a few things to think about. First of all, recognize that, and I would thought when you were talking about transition, Cody, which is great, maybe as an office, maybe as a team, you need to go, let's start being more open-handed about how we schedule things and figure this out. One of the things we found is that period of time between 5 and 6:30 is, and you know how the office, sometimes you start shutting down early and people are like, should we even start talking about that right now? It's 4:45 and people are going to need to go. Well, we get so much done when we decide, hey, let's meet from 5 to 6. Oftentimes we've had huge breakthroughs during those hours. And we'll be walking out at 6:15 or 6:30 going, wow, had we avoided that meeting, we would have missed all that. So maybe ask yourselves, do we need to give ourselves permission to stay a little later sometimes when we know we have something to do and we're going to be really on topic? So maybe just declare that's okay if we stay later. Now, I know there's people listening to this and go, hey, I work till 7:30 every night. What's that? But whatever it is, be aware that there are times that you could take advantage of. That's one thing. The other thing is talk about the fact that we work in different time zones and there's more virtual. And so people are at home. And this is going to be impacted by, you know, what's going on in your house at 5 o'clock versus what's going on in your house in the morning. So it's like a couple practical things is find a few times in the day as a team and say, let's take advantage of those windows. Mm-hmm. And let's have a conversation about how this impacts virtual time zones and all that other stuff.
A couple other, I think, simple practical things is talk about this as a team. That's the first one. Yeah, is just to go around and say, hey, when kind of the peak hours, when do you have your most energy? Oh, we've always, you know, I think a really simple thing, Pat, is in many organizations, it's like that 12 to 1 spot is sacred, don't touch it. But it could be that's when people's best energy is and they would really appreciate a lunch break at 1:30.
I'm often frustrated that we sit down to eat. I'll come in and I'll because we eat as a team. That's one of those crazy things. We eat together as a team every day. We didn't really announce that when we started the business, but for 25 years, we sit down at a table and eat, which is fantastic. But I like it when it happens a little later because oftentimes we're in a meeting and it's 11:45 and somebody says, the food's here, or, you know, people are sitting down to eat. And so maybe we need to agree, let's start eating a little later to get more of that really good energetic time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A practical way this has played out for us actually is we have, in the 8 years I've been here, we have moved our leadership team meetings about a dozen times just to try to figure out, like, we used to have them Monday mornings and like the energy is, even though that's like the standard time, I think a lot of people listening to this, if you're a team leader, it's like, you don't have to have your team meeting on Monday mornings because that's when everyone says you should have it. We've Correct. Moved it around to different days and different times of the day because we're evaluating how people show up in that meeting and realizing, like, boy, when people get here on Monday, they've got a full inbox, they've got a whole Yes. week of projects that they have to do, and it really was distracting. And so we have sort of intuitively moved that meeting around to go for this very reason, which is people were not showing up and giving their best in that meeting.
That's a great example. We're having our meeting this afternoon. Go ahead, Bo. Well, you had two more practical things. I love practical. Yeah,
and a colleague was the one who reflected this to me. Her name's Ashley Turner. She suggested, she's like, you know, I think for your wiring, it really helps you to not actually start your day with invention. And she just had observed, yeah, it seems like the thing you would love to start your day with is creative work. But she's like, I think you should start your day with 30 minutes of get some stuff out of your head, get some emails out, get some things. And then you're actually able to relax a little bit and be more creative. I thought that was really insightful.
Well, yeah. And I think that what's interesting is our peak time isn't right in the morning when we get to work.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that, oh, you're the most energized and it's a decrease in energy over time. It's not. It peaks later. So totally sometimes agree. Doing a little bit of busy work in the morning to get that out of your head and off your schedule and then saving like that 10 to 1 period, you know, if you really think about this, 10 to 1 and probably like 5 to 6:30 might be the peak hours for when you have to do something. I think interactive is really important here. I think we interact with one another better during those hours.
Hmm. I love it. Yeah, in the same way that I think it's important for us to schedule and prioritize the most important conversations for our organization, I also think there's a way to take advantage of some of those lull times. So once a week, in that afternoon lull, I have held that this is when I catch up on phone calls because they're relational. I'm an extrovert. I like having those 20-minute phone calls to be able to check in. And when those end up happening in the peak times, I'm annoyed because I'm thinking, this is the best time. This is when I should be meeting with Pat or Cody or the team and moving things forward. But instead, it's syncing up with somebody where, for me, that's done best in kind of that lull time. And for somebody else, that may be a great time to do email. Or for somebody else, that might, you know what I mean? That might be take advantage of your lull time based on your own wiring.
There's a word that comes up, one of my favorite words, and that is nap. You know, and like, I wonder if there is a place, and people will say like a 10-minute nap in the middle of the day can be, now a 30-minute nap, you just wake up with a sleep hangover. You know, but they said that Einstein, I know, and this is Einstein, but used to take little tiny naps during the day. And I loved me some siesta when I lived in Spain. And I know people don't do this. I think a lot of people are like, man, if I could just close my eyes for 10 minutes, that'd be great. But I would never do it because people are going to see me and think I'm a slacker. And I wonder if in an office, if somebody said, listen, if you need to go sit in a chair and put your head back and sleep for between at 3 o'clock just to re-energize yourself, or you need to lay on the floor with a pillow and go to sleep, I think that should be okay. Now, I know people are listening to this going, that's not going to happen at my company. And other places are like, yeah, we do it already. But be intentional about stuff like that. Hmm.
Is that your unpaid advertisement, Pat, for naps? Because I'm in full support of more naps.
No.
Especially for my kids.
That would have been a great unpaid ad. The unpaid ad we're going to do at the end of this one is kind of similar to that, but we'll get to there at the end. We're going to surprise you. Let's talk about this now. So during the day, we have rhythms. I think during the week, we have rhythms too. And we had a really interesting conversation is, what's your favorite day of the week? Hmm. And we had totally different answers, right? So, Bo, what's your favorite day of the week?
Saturday. Oh, did you mean the work week? I actually have to think about it. I don't have an answer that comes to mind.
Mine is Tuesday. Tuesday. Because Tuesday, it's not Monday. Monday's like, I'm recovering from the weekend hangover. Not literally, but like I'm trying to get back into the work swing of things. Hmm. Karen's is Thursday because it was none of our favorite day because we're always like, oh no, I've got to catch up on everything. And then the weekend is coming. And then, so hers is Thursday because she gets peace thinking I have another day before the weekend to get stuff done. I like Tuesday because I still have most of the week coming. And it feels like it's a time of possibilities. How about you, Cody?
I was going to say Tuesday too for a really similar reason, which is it feels for whatever, and I'm kind of feeding off the energy of our peers here, is like Monday, people feel like, boy, I have so much to catch up on. They get a chance to catch up. Tuesday, it feels like there's still high energy, but there's less tactical things to catch up on. So it feels like a lot of the conversations that we're having on Tuesday are more productive and less just operational. And so I think Tuesday for me feels that same for the same reason. And then if you organize a conversation or you make a decision on Tuesday, you still have time to push it along by Thursday or Friday before the week's over. So I think you and I are on the same page here.
Yep.
I'm with Karen that I love Thursdays. And I think I've never thought about this, so I'm thinking about it live. Mondays, the whole day is stacked up with meetings. So even though I love all of you people, I'm tired when I even just look at my calendar of the number of meetings that there are. Whereas Thursday you don't tend to have recurring meetings. It tends to be where there's more open space and where you can put the kind of conversations that on Monday or Tuesday, you're like, let's have a longer conversation about that. Okay, cool. We'll have that on Thursday. So I tend to really like those days. And I'm with you. It's not Friday. Friday is trying to button things up. Energy is usually pretty low.
How about you, Matt?
Tuesday for sure.
Oh, you're a Tuesday guy too.
Yeah.
So we're all definitely Tuesdays or Thursdays. Now, I suppose if you hated your job, Friday might be the best, right?
Yeah. But I think I was thinking for a different reason than you thought so.
Oh, tell us about your Tuesday.
I think it's because there's so much of the week that you have ahead of you. I think the closer it gets to the end of the week for me, the more I feel like pressure to be getting on top of things and getting things done. Tuesday is kind of when I sort everything.
Hmm. Right. So Monday is survival, just getting reestablished. Tuesday is sorting. You got the rest of the week to get stuff done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pat, this week was sort of unique for us because we were traveling over the weekend and then traveling on Monday. So many of the conversations that would normally happen on a Monday got kind of bumped or spread out throughout the week. And I'm thinking about just your question of, in terms of the rhythm of the week, there are so many times in the year that there's a Monday that's off for many people at work. And we tend to just be like, oh, okay, I guess maybe we won't have those meetings, or we're not going to rediscern when we should have those conversations. And it's just such a simple idea, but when Labor Day or Memorial Day or President's Day or whenever any of those holidays are, Cody, we can Google that later for you so you know when those dates are.
Thank you.
We should rediscern the rest of that week to know how it should actually go and have it not just be a lost week or crammed into 4 days what used to be in 5 days.
You know what's funny? We call this I have rhythm, you know, the Steve Martin thing. When our rhythm gets thrown off, it's really weird. Like, and when our kids, for those of you that have kids that are listening to this, when there's like a holiday and it's a 3-day weekend, and so let's say Monday is off, you come back Tuesday, by Thursday, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. It feels, yeah. I feel more tired. We adjust our expectations. It's really good to get into a rhythm. And that's why sometimes we come back from vacation, we feel exhausted because we We have a different, so we want to respect our rhythm and have a conversation. The number one thing is talk to your team about this. You might find other people are like, are you kidding? You mean we could all have our lunch hour from 1:15 to 2:15 instead of, and we could maybe schedule a meeting from 5 to 6. Hey, even if you could shift your day and say, let's come in on some days at 9:30 and stay till 6:30 or 7, you might find that the higher percentage of time there is actually energy time. So that's what we want to say is be cognizant of this, have a good conversation about this. And now, our unpaid advertisement.
Can we
be ready for
it?
This? It is power outages. Now, not for people in the middle of winter who can't heat themselves, but when you know the power goes out, and we've had this happen at work and in our homes, and you go, you mean the TV doesn't work? You mean, and maybe if Wi-Fi goes down too, you mean we actually have to sit here in the semi-darkness and talk and we have free time? It's crazy how many people go, it's kind of nice to light a candle and just be together or have peace. And yet we don't do it unless nature forces us to by knocking down a power line or having a storm.
The first thing that I thought of when you said that was, it's so fun to go to the basement and get the candles and light candles. It just, what is it about it? It's so simple and slow. And
you know when the power goes back on and everybody's like, oh, the power's on. And you go like, oh, it's over.
Yeah. Unless it's been out for 3 days and your food all, you know, went bad in your fridge.
No, yeah. There's people that have like real tragedy.
You sound like a secret lobbyist for PG&E, Pat. So, you know, a Californian advertising for power outages is really
interesting. This is a good thing. It's a feature. Matt, what were you saying?
Well, I bought a month's worth of groceries last Monday, and Tuesday my power went out, and it didn't come back on until Wednesday night, and all those groceries are in the garbage now.
Oh, yeah. See, that as we say in the real world, that sucks. So. But anyway, maybe so it's a 4-hour power outage.
Those are perfect.
There you go.
It's a gift. It's a gift. All righty, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the I Have Rhythm. Steve Martin. He's our other unpaid ad, Steve Martin. All right, everybody. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. Bye-bye.